You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive. And in 1 Kings 8:56, the Scripture says, "Praise be to the Lord, who has given rest to His people, Israel, just as He promised." He made some promises. God has made promises all down through history. And those promises stand good today. It's amazing. God doesn't forget one promise. It's amazing when I read Old Testament saints, they weren't born again. They didn't have the sin nature eradicated. We're new creatures. But they didn't have the sin nature eradicated like we do. So they were not subject, or they were more subject to sin than we are. We don't have to sin. Thank God. That, what Brother Mike was talking about the other day. We don't have to sin. They still had the sin nature. So they had to deal with that. But God made a promise to Israel when He brought them out of Egypt's bondage, to take them into the promised land and give them rest. Amen. God has made that promise. Beloved, that rest is ours. This is the rest wherein He causes the weary to rest. Amen. We have a resting place in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. We don't have to be run about, run here and there, to and fro, trying to find rest. Because when we come to Christ, we have our rest. And what a rest. And so He said, not one word has failed. Not one word has failed of all the good promises He gave through His servant Moses. What Moses stated concerning the promises of God, what God revealed to Moses, they're now saying, not one word failed. Not one word missed. Everything that God stated through Moses happened just like He said. And beloved, when we take a hold of God's promises, we have assurance by divine ability. Assurance by divine ability. In Romans 4:21, Paul, talking about Abraham. He said, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what He had promised. Amen. Being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what He promised. He knew God wasn't going to fail him. And God spoke to him directly. He didn't have a prophet come by and tell him these things. He spoke to Moses or to Abraham directly and made the promise to him. And when he got a hold of the promise, he stayed with it. He wrote it to the full. I mean, he wrote it all the way to the end until it happened, Brother Mo. Amen. And we can do the same thing with the promises that God has given us. The Word of God is sure. It is, I don't care what it looks like, how long it takes. It doesn't matter how long it takes. I know when I first started out in this journey, and that's been many years ago, over 40 years ago, that I used to think, you know, there's something not quite right. You hadn't got your faith worked up. You hadn't reached that other rung on the ladder. You need to step up a little bit. Otherwise, you'd have everything that you prayed for pretty quick. But that's not always the case. Neither is it in the Scripture always the case. And many started out with the promise of God, but it took a while for them to get there. Let me make a statement. I heard this the other day. And it was amazing to me that they would make this statement that that God is always on time, not our time. And when we look at the clock and the calendar on our time, he missed it. I mean, he's totally missed it because we want it right now. And there are times that we get it right now, but there are times that we don't get it right now. And so Abraham, some 25 years, he wrestled with this, but he held on to the promise of God. Can you imagine holding on? God, you must have missed it. Somewhere around 25 years that God had made the promise. When he first made the promise, Abraham took it to heart and he believed God and he never got away from it. He grew rather than faded out. And that's what we need to do. We need to grow in faith rather than turning it loose. Amen. A lot of times we forget about after a certain amount of time, we just say, well, I guess God's not going to do it. And we just walk away from it. And we missed it. How do you know that he wasn't right at the door like he was with Saul when Saul waited on Samuel to come for the evening offering? And he waited and he waited. And the time was running out. And so Saul said, get it ready. We're going to do it. I'll do it myself. Because he's not going to show up. But Samuel did show up. Right when he was supposed to show up. He didn't get there early. But he got there. He got there on time. God usually isn't early. But he's always on time. I said, he's not usually early. But he's always on time. Hallelujah. David Nunn. Anybody ever, other than Brother Moe and myself, David Nunn, an evangelist of a number of years ago. I haven't heard of him, and I suppose he's in heaven now. But David Nunn prayed for a man a number of years ago. And this man had a big growth on his neck. Very visible, and everybody knew it. The church that he was in, everybody knew, you know, about the growth, and it was easy to see. But he went down and was prayed for. And every service after that, he began to testify how God had healed him. But the growth was still there. And days went by, weeks went by, months went by, and here we are now. We're past a year. He's still testifying. That guy, I don't know what mirror he's looking in, but something's wrong because he still got the growth. 2 years went by. He still got the growth, but he's still testifying. He's healed. Hallelujah. 3 years. Come up, and the man is still testifying, but the growth is still there. So the elders of the church got together. Something's got to be done with this. I mean, it's easy to see the growth is still there, and yet he's telling everybody that he's healed. And so they told him, you're either going to have to stop your testimony, because it's easy to say you're not healed. He went home that night after the service. And when he was going to bed, he said, God, I don't even pay attention to that. I know you heal me. But for their sake, so they'll know, would you remove this thing? When he got up the next morning, it was laying in the bed. Hallelujah. You think he had a Pentecostal spell? I'll tell you something, folks. That's not a bad thing. I said it's not a bad thing to have a Pentecostal spell. Because sometimes we need to dance, and shake that stuff. Shake it off. We need to shake it off. We need some shaking. Hallelujah. Grounded in Christ. Grounded in Christ. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes. They are yes in Christ. And so through Him, the Amen. Now watch this. I like the NIV on this. This is marvelous. And so through Him, the Amen, Christ, is spoken by us. It puts us in the sequence. To the glory of God. Let me read it. Let me read the whole verse and you can pick it up. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ, and so through Him, the Amen, is spoken by us to the glory of God. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. He is the Amen, and we add our yes to it. We add our part to it. We add our confession to it. Amen. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Well, I got a lot of markers here. See, there's my marker. I can use it, then I can wipe my mouth with it. All right, praise God. 7:1. Since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Perfecting reverence, respect, honor. And I'm adding those to it. We are to make sure of our lives, watch over our lives to make sure that everything that contaminates the body, the spirit, has not taken a hold of us to cause us to miss those promises. Hallelujah. The promises of God. There's another, I can't think of the minister's name now. He was a man of God that had preached the fire of God for years and years. But he got into a state of depression. And he was sat by the window, and during the night, during the day, he would sit there and just stare out the window. And his wife couldn't get him to do anything, couldn't move him. He just kept, you know, never said anything. He just sat there depressed, out of it. But one day she decided she was going to get dressed like she's going to a funeral. So she dressed up in black, put her black hat on and everything, and got ready for the funeral. And when she walked through the room where he was at, she walked to the front door and started to go out the front door. He said, who died? Or where are you going? Somebody died. She said, yes, yeah, somebody died. God died. And he said, tut, tut, woman, my God lives. And just in a moment of time, it snapped him out of the state of depression. It broke the chains. Hallelujah. And you know, we get in those states at times because we're in the midst of a battle and we can't figure out what's going on. How many times I've said, God, I don't understand. but I believe. I don't understand, but I believe. How many times have you been in a state of depression that you didn't understand what was going on or why it was going on maybe? And who knows why it's going on other than we have an enemy who comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. And he wants to get us out of the way. If he can, I'm telling you that we're as good as dead if he hangs us in those rooms of depression and we stay there all the time and won't come out. We're as good as dead. Our voice does no good whatsoever. But if we're up and going, there's life that flows. Our infinite value, the Word of God is of infinite value. In 2 Peter 1:4, through these He has given us His very great and precious promises. Through these apostles, prophets, men of God, women of God, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Through these exceeding great and precious promises, God has given us the ability to overcome. We are more than conquerors. Hallelujah. How many times do you have to say, I'm healed? How many times do you have to say, Peter said, by His stripes we're healed. Isaiah said, by His stripes we're healed. How many times do we have to say, no plague can come near our dwelling, that before we're healed? I don't know how many times you have to say it. I don't know how many. Just keep on saying it. And I like what Brother Mike in Sunday school one Sunday, when I mentioned something about being healed, he said, I agree with you. I agree with you. I mean, just like that. See, if we agree with one another, God agrees with us. God made the promise, and if we make the confession, God agrees with us. Hallelujah. That's what we just read that. God agrees with us. The promises of God are of infinite value. Hallelujah. Culminating in eternal, everlasting life. 1 John 2:25 says, And this is what He promised. When it's all said and done, this is the thing that really matters through it all. He has given us eternal life. He has given us eternal life. I've pondered over people going to hell and how horrible it is and why they suffer like they suffer and why it's an eternal habitation. It never changes. Never changes. And my soul literally cries out, I don't understand this. I do not understand. Hell was never made for man. It was never intended for man to go to hell. But because of Satan and his deception and man listening to him, man winds up in the same place that he does. The horror of souls literally, continually in agony. And there are different levels of suffering depending on how we have made Satan the Lord of our lives. We've given him that lordship, that right to rule our lives, and we wind up with eternal loss rather than eternal life. But God's promise to us, to those who are in Christ Jesus, he has given us eternal life. And there is no way to put a picture on what heaven is really like. There's no way to grasp, to put our minds around what God has prepared for those who loved him and those he has loved and gave himself for. There's no way to grasp or to envision what it's really going to be like. I'll tell you, folks, heaven is real. Heaven's going to be worth everything that we can do or anything that we can do. I know there are things that are coming. I know the state of our nation is in shambles in some ways. But I'm going to tell you something. God is moving. There is a revival that's stirring. There's revival coming. And you can get ready for it. There is revival coming. God isn't through with America. God's not through with the nations of the earth. And there is going to be the greatest harvest. This is the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, the former and the latter. The greatest harvest will happen in our day. It'll happen in our day. And the influx of souls into the kingdom of God is uncountable. There are people that, Christians today, right now, that are dying for the name of Jesus. But revival. I heard the testimony of one young lady. They said it doesn't make any difference what they do to us. We'll never change our mind about Jesus. And I thought, my God, what a testimony. They're burning their homes. They're killing them. Chopping them up with machetes. And they said, we'll never change. We won't go back. We found the answer. And his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Folks, we have it. We have it. And we're going to see the greatest outpouring of the Holy Ghost that this world has ever witnessed. No other move of God will come close to this move. It's the latter rain. And it's coming. Romans 8:28. And of course, everybody knows Romans 8:28. Hallelujah. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. I want to back up and add to 1 John 2:25. I want to read a verse of Scripture. I want to read verse 24. Because the promise that God has given us is eternal life. But there's something that John made a statement here. It said, "See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you." What you heard from the beginning, what brought you to Christ, the message that you received, make sure that you don't let it slip away. The stress, the battle, and sometimes there's battle fatigue. And I thought the other day, I was thinking about the battle and the struggle sometimes of our faith. that we are in boot camp on earth for heaven. We're in a serious battle, folks. And the battle is not just for my soul. It's for my family. Amen. It's for people that I meet along the way. Hallelujah. So make sure that what you got in the beginning remains in you. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ that brought you to God and brought salvation to you. Make sure that it doesn't slip away. It remains there. Hallelujah. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and the Father and in the Father. And this is what He promised us, and that is eternal life. Make sure that it remains in you. We need to guard our hearts. We need to watch what we say. We need to watch what we confess, because our confession can change by the whim of a feeling or an emotion. Amen. And I, the Lord has really, some time ago, got a hold of me on that. And he didn't cut no slack when he said it either. He said, zip your lip. Keep your mouth shut. When things are going wrong, it's not the time to talk. Now, settle the issue before you get into it. And then if it goes wrong, you already know what to do. Do what you knew to do, what you plan to do, what you all. Otherwise, if you start talking, you may wind up talking the wrong thing. And you lose it all. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light, and I like this, our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us. They're working on our behalf. What? What we are facing, our battles, actually are working for our good. It causes us to dig in to the Lord. It causes us to get a hold of the Word of God. It causes us to anchor in God's promises, to be sure that we are affixed on Him and not on this world, that we're not shakable or movable, that we don't open our mouth and talk when we shouldn't. Amen? And so he said, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory, that far outweighs all of the troubles, all of the problems. I thought about that young lady testifying and the many that are dying in Somalia. And they're being run out. I mean, family after family after family, burn their homes, take them out in the street and beat them. And I thought about what that young lady said, and I could see them walking around in glory. I could see them, Brother Mo, just as sure as we're sitting here tonight. They're shouting on the streets of glory. Hallelujah. Refusing to give up, just like the early church, who some went out the way of lions killing them, fed the lions in the arenas in Rome. We have no idea what suffering is really all about. We haven't had to shed our blood yet. We haven't seen people here in America. We do not understand in the Western world the Eastern philosophies. We don't grasp what they're saying. We don't grasp their thinking, their mindset. It doesn't walk the same ways that our mindsets walks. And so we can't understand. We can't understand how suffering, how they can do the horrible things that they can do without any restraint at all. Our conscience. And yet America is losing its conscience. America is losing its conscience. But remember this, God is on the move. And there are many that's missing it, but there's going to be many that got a hold of it. Our young people are really being stirred. They're the ones that are waking up. They're the ones that are taking a hold of the flaming sword, the Word of God, and they're going forward. They're not ashamed. They're not ashamed of the gospel. I mean, you and I cannot go to the schools and talk about God, but they can. They can do it. The teachers can't, but they can do it. And they do. And they're doing it more and more. Hallelujah. God, give us more young people. God, give us more fire. Hallelujah. So that when they go into these places, they have the fire and the boldness to stand up and proclaim the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And they're doing it. That's the beautiful thing. They're doing it. Hallelujah. I'm going to close with this. I want to read that verse again. 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs all of them. The struggles, the battles, the lonely nights. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah.